Our sermon this morning will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. But before you turn there, I want you to turn to Genesis, chapter 1. I want to read Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll read John 1, 1 through 5. And this is as we begin this time known as Advent or preparation for the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. We'll be starting a series here as we look today at Christ, the life of the world. We'll look in coming weeks just to whet your appetite as Christ, the light of the world, Christ, the likeness of men, Christ, the Lamb of God, the love of God, and finally, Christ, the Lord of Lords. As we look at the Gospel of John and we explore these themes about who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. So let us look first, though, at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Hear now the word of our God, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Let us turn now to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So we'll be reading the Gospel of John. We'll begin at verse 1, read the first 5 verses. That will be our text for this morning. Hear now God speak. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us now pray. Our God, we come to You and praise You for Your word. You have revealed to us things that are unable to be known apart from Your revelation. For we are not eternal. We were not there in the beginning. But God, You are from everlasting to everlasting. Open our hearts and our minds to see the truth of Your Word. Open our hearts and our minds to see the life that is in Christ. And God, help us to rejoice in the life that we have in Him. In His name we pray. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, we're entering into the time, according to the church calendar, called Advent. A word that comes from the Latin, Adventus. It means coming or arrival. The coming or arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ in His birth. This is the beginning of, if you look at the church year, it's the beginning of the church year, because it's the birth of Christ. We're going back to the beginning, and rightly so. Now, all of the writers of the Gospels, there are 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them go back to some beginning. Mark goes back to the baptism of Jesus with John the Baptist and Jesus coming to him. Luke goes back to his birth. Matthew goes all the way back to Adam as he goes back and begins with the genealogy of Jesus. But John goes way back. He goes way, way back. He goes back to the beginning. He doesn't go to the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, as Mark does. He doesn't go to the beginning of the birth of Christ. That is him taking on, as John says here in verse 14 of John chapter 1, the Word becoming flesh. But John goes back to Jesus as the second person of the Trinity, the pre-incarnate Christ. In other words, he doesn't go back to the beginning of his earthly ministry, but he goes back to his eternal ministry in the beginning. Similar words to those that we read from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning. In the beginning. As we look at who Christ is, the pre-incarnate Son of God, second person of the Trinity, I want you to take this message to heart. This is so crucial. This is why John begins here. Jesus is fully God, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Same essence, eternal God, God of God, light of light. He's the one who gives life, we'll see. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, although you breathe, you are not living. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, although you see, you are blind and will remain blind apart from Him. And so I pray that as we look upon, gaze upon who Christ is, as John takes us back to the beginning, that you'll have a greater appreciation for who Christ is as He comes into the world, takes flesh upon Him, humbles Himself. You see, the higher we see the exaltation, the prior exaltation of Christ, the greater appreciation we'll have for His humiliation in His coming to the earth. So we're looking at Christ, the life of the world today. John is a gospel that is written probably a little later than the others. And it's different than the others. Again, it begins in a different way and it contains different things. John doesn't contain any description of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other than verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John doesn't say anything of His temptation. John doesn't include the Sermon on the Mount or the Transfiguration. John doesn't include the prophecy of Jerusalem. John doesn't include the appointment of the Lord's Supper. What does John include, though? Many things, chief among them, the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins with it here. Now, John, throughout his gospel, will give descriptions or explanations of Jewish customs and terms. So unlike Matthew, who wrote primarily to a Jewish audience, John is writing to a broader audience. I found this quote. Gregory Nazianzen, an early church father, said this: Matthew wrote for the Hebrews, that is for the Jews, Mark for the Italians, Luke for the Greeks, but the great herald John for all. The great herald John for all. And as we come to these first words penned here in the Gospel of John, they are words that the ancients used to say ought to be penned in gold in every church. Penned in gold in every church. I read of this illustration. A learned man, Francis Junius, in the account that he gives of his own life, tells how in his youth he was infected with loose notions of religion, with the love of the world, and by the grace of God, he wonderfully was recovered simply by reading these first verses of the Gospel of John. Don't ever underestimate the power of the Word of God. Simply reading these verses has converted individuals. Another commentator says that these words, as John opens, are fitting for one who was called the Son of Thunder, because he comes with these words that thunder, as it were, from heaven about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And that's what I want you to understand, that Jesus, the one who John says is the Word who became flesh, is eternal God who gives, sustains, and reveals life to the world. Eternal God who gives, sustains, and reveals life to the world. We'll see that He is eternal God, that He creates life, that He sustains life, that He reveals life, but that not all, maybe not even some of you, see this life. Let's look first at the reality that Jesus is eternal God. We read, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." There's the verb used here, translated in the English, was. Was the Word. Was with God. Was God. Now, without getting into a bunch of Greek details, I want to point out to you that this verb that is translated as was here in the first two verses is different than the verb that is used in verse 3. All things were made through Him. All things became through Him. Two different Greek verbs. He was, but things were made. He was, but things were made. Now turn with me to John chapter 8. This is why, incidentally, every word matters. The words that are used in the original languages matter. Because John wrote with a purpose to bring to us a certain message. Look at John 8 and verse 58. John 8 verse 58. Jesus is speaking to those who are confronting Him. And He makes this statement in John 8, 58. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Two different Greek verbs here. The one referencing Abraham is that same one that is used in verse 3, was made. Abraham's created. The second one that Jesus uses of Himself is that same one that John uses in John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. There's a distinction here between what is created and what is eternal. And so as we come back to John chapter 1, we see that even by the use of this verb, what John is saying of Jesus is that He is eternal. He was the Word. And what does he mean by the Word? John is the only one who uses this. He uses it here. Again, in verse 14 of this chapter, he uses it in Revelation 19, 13, and he uses it in his letter, 1 John 1, 1. What does it mean that He is the Word? Well, we know that this is speaking of the One who was to come. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ prior to His incarnation, prior to His coming into the world, taking upon Himself human flesh. But why use the word Word? Well, He is the perfect wisdom of God. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We'll come back to Proverbs chapter 8 a little bit later as well. But I'm going to look at Proverbs chapter 8. Verses 22 and 23. Here, wisdom is personified. The Proverbs here are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. Proverbs 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Wisdom of God, the Word of God, the perfect revelation of God. Look with me at Hebrews. Incidentally, you catechism students of mine, this is why we do sword drills. This is why we say, okay, close your Bibles, put up your hands, and get ready to turn to where this passage is, because I'm preparing you for difficult times that Pastor puts you through as he has you flipping through the Bible. But I'm patient. I'm patient as we look at these verses. But I want you to see the connections here. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 3. As we think about the Word as the perfect revelation of God, I love to hear the Bibles flipping in the pews. It's great. So we have Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But notice here we have that God speaking through whom? By His Son. And of course, the Word then speaks of the power of God. I wonder if you turn there, but what does Isaiah 55:11 say? The Word of God is powerful, isn't it? It will not return void. It will accomplish all that God intends it to accomplish. As we go back to John chapter 1, we see that this Word, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Word that was to come and take on human flesh, was with God. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. It speaks of fellowship. Jesus speaks of this fellowship in His high priestly prayer, John 17:5. The glory that I had with you in eternity. I read this quote: ask the sun if it ever were without its beams. Ask the fountain if it were ever without its streams. So God was never without His Son. It speaks of the closest fellowship. But then finally we see, not only in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, but the Word was God. You see, John here continues to go up the staircase. Let me tell you about who the pre-incarnate Christ was. Yes, He was in the beginning. Yes, He was with God. Oh, but here is the height. He was God. This is why Jesus could say, as we looked at in John 8, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Co-eternal with God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Now it's interesting, and here, it shouldn't amaze us, this is the Word of God. But here in one verse, multiple heresies are refuted. Multiple heresies are refuted. Arianism, Arius, said that Jesus was inferior to God the Father. No. No. He was not inferior. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Sabellius, a heresy called Sabellianism. It's also called modalism. Said that Jesus is the same person as God the Father and the Holy Spirit. God the Father changed into God the Son, and changed into God the Holy Spirit. No, refuted right here. The Word was with God, had fellowship with God. Refutes Unitarianism. Unitarianism says Jesus is not God at all. He's just a good man. No, the Word was God. Now, it's interesting because if you have ever talked to the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will dispute this verse. In fact, they have a translation called the New World Translation. It's new. It's not good. Not a good new. But in this verse, they will insert an article, an indefinite article. They'll say instead of the Word was God, they will say the Word was a God. A God, not the God. Now, it's true that in the Greek there is a definite and indefinite. There is no indefinite article, it's just left out. There's the God and a God. But the reality here is that John is very careful in choosing to leave out this definite article. Because if he put the definite article in, what he would be saying is, the Word is the God, the only God. And he would be denying the Trinity. So by leaving out the article, John protects the Trinity. But there's no reason to add A in there. In fact, in the New World Translation, they don't do this in other places. There's no definite article for names. There's no definite article for titles. And yet you don't see the A added anywhere else. Very inconsistent. Because they want to deny the Trinity. But here's the beauty, is that every single word that is used here is used with a divine intention to both guard the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also guard the reality of one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is eternal God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. But not only was He the eternal and is the eternal God, but He is, as the eternal God, the eternal Creator of life. Look with me at verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. The Word of God in the Old Testament is spoken of as the Word by which the heavens were made. Psalm 33:6. Turn with me back to Proverbs chapter 8. A few verses there give us one of the greatest commentaries on verse 3 of John chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 8. Again, remember, in Proverbs we have here wisdom personified, and we know that Christ is the wisdom of God. So look with me at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 27. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. This is wisdom talking. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, there I was beside Him as a master craftsman. And I was his delight, rejoicing always before Him. What a glorious picture of the wisdom of God found in the Word of God. We might put it this way. God the Father said to God the Son, "Let us make man in our image." And it's God the Son, the Word of God, who spoke, "Let there be light." Revealed in the New Testament. You don't have to turn here, but just a few passages. Hebrews 1, verse 2. Through whom also, speaking of Jesus, He made the worlds. Colossians 1, 15 and 16. By Him, that is, by Jesus Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. You see how this brings out the reality here that verse 3 draws our attention to. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. John says positively all things were made, and there's nothing, not one little thing in creation can say that it was not because of the second person of the Trinity that it has its being. I want you to see, not only is He the creator of life, but the sustainer of life. Verse 4, in Him was life. Jesus is even now upholding all things. As the Scripture tells us, again in Hebrews 1:3, He is upholding all things by the word of His power. And in Jesus all things consist. In Him was life. 1 Corinthians 8:6, there's one Lord Jesus Christ through whom all things and through whom we live. Now again, this is prior to His incarnation. The life that is spoken of here, yes, we will get to that. We will see that He is spiritual life. But here we're also speaking of physical life. The fact that anyone has any life, whatever life we have, whether physical or spiritual, comes through the Son of God, the pre-incarnate Christ. But here's another beautiful truth from these passages. If it's true, and it is, that nothing was created without Him, that means that He Himself is not created. If He created all things, and the Bible tells us that He did, then He Himself cannot be created. Once again, we see John bringing out the eternality, co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And once this truth is grasped, and this is why John begins here with this, because once this truth about who the second person of the Trinity is, who the Son of God is, once this truth is really grasped, Verse 14 of John 1 becomes all the more amazing, doesn't it? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, what are we talking about here? We're not talking about a man, we're talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is something that we cannot grasp by rationalizing it. This is a message from heaven, something that must be grasped by faith. How can we know who this God is? How can we know who this God is? One God in three persons. We lay hold of it by faith. Bernard of Clairvaux was a French Benedictine monk. 1090 to 1153 is quoted as saying this: "It is rashness," speaking of the doctrine of God, the Trinity, "it is rashness to search too far into it. It is piety to believe it. It is eternal life to know it. And we can never have a full comprehension of it till we come to enjoy it." Wow. We never have a full comprehension of it until we come to enjoy it. And how is it that we know it? How is it that we come to enjoy it? Well, we cannot know it and enjoy it unless it is revealed to us. But we see that God also does that in Christ. He's not only the eternal God who creates, He's not only the eternal God who sustains life, but He is the revealer of life. In Him was life, verse 4 of John 1, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. Now here again, we're not talking about the incarnation yet. That happens in verse 14. So what light that is shining out are we talking about? Well, Jesus, as eternal God, is the eternal revealer of life, revealed in the light of nature. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day they pour forth speech." Natural revelation. Revealed in the light of conscience. God is not silent. All men know that He exists. Look with me at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The light of nature, the light of conscience. Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 tells us that what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So here we have the light. It is coming from and through the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. And yes, it is revealed then also to those who are inheriting eternal life in the light of regeneration. He who is the light of the world is the Redeemer of His people. I love how John brings this out. Listen to these words. In 1 John 5, verse 11. "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." This life is in His Son. Matthew Henry puts it this way: "The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, and it was the eternal Word that lit this candle." What a beautiful picture of the work that God does in the heart of one who can truly see. Think about this as we consider the advent, the coming, the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ in His birth. As we consider, as John says here, that the Word became flesh. The one, if we might put this and summarize this, we might say this: the one who was with God, the one who was with God, has now become God with us. Isn't that amazing? The one who was with God has now become God with us, Emmanuel. We sang that earlier, didn't we? O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is Hebrew for the with us God, or God with us. The one who was with God has now become God with us. And who better than to restore to us spiritual life than the one through whom life comes? You see the beauty of God's plan of redemption. The Old Testament speaks of it, Psalm 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light we see light. And again, as I read earlier from 1 John 5, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. Do you have the Son? Are you united to Christ by faith? Because if you do, you can rejoice. But not all have this. John goes on, 1 John 5, verse 12. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is reality. There are people who are walking around this world who are dead and blind. John goes on to talk about that. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not comprehend it. The light shining, this is present tense, the light continually shines. The heavens declare the glory of God. There is nowhere that this is not poured out. And yet, the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness speaks of those who reject. Who reject the Word of God. Jesus is not seen as the light whatsoever. He's not seen as the light. They are living in darkness, the blind of heart. Jesus is not sought for life. Living in darkness, the hardness of heart. And perhaps this is you. Perhaps right now you're not even listening to this sermon. Perhaps you're just thinking of something else. You know, we sang earlier about not being earthly minded, but about being heavenly minded. Perhaps right now you're thinking, when can I leave? Perhaps you're here because you do not desire to be here for the Lord, but you're simply here out of custom. But because this is where you are expected to be. Perhaps you secretly cherish sins and refuse to give them up. Wake up. There is no life apart from God. There is no life apart from the Son of God. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is what John wants to make sure that we do not miss. You see, if we come to these first five verses, and although I have gone into some detail about some heresies and some other things that I think that you ought to know, if we come to them and dissect them as if we are simply trying to learn and be fascinated with some doctrine, we've missed life. We've missed the Son of God. And I don't want you to miss life. I don't want you to miss the Son of God. You see, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all begin their Gospels in different places, don't they? Mark begins with the baptism, Luke with the birth, Matthew goes back to Adam, but only John goes back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this Word? The second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, the one who was going to come and become flesh, the pre-incarnate Christ. We see here, He is eternal God, but He's also with God. He is eternal God, He was God, but He's with God. Well, how does that make sense? Well, it makes sense when we understand that God is one God in three persons, doesn't it? He was with God, He was God. It is through Him that all things have been created. It is through Him that all things continue to remain. He upholds all things by the power of His Word. He has life in Himself. why Jesus can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I hope that this gives you a deeper appreciation of even those words that Jesus speaks. Life with a big L. It would have nothing, no life, apart from Him. He's the Word of God. Creative Word, sustaining Word, revealing Word, but sadly, the rejected Word by many. I don't know, maybe you'll walk out of here rejecting the Word. I hope not. I can't see your heart, but God knows. So listen to this. Listen to this. Go and read through these verses. Go and read through Proverbs 8. Go and meditate upon who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Because here's what I will tell you. If you do not have Him, you're breathing, but you're not living. If you do not have Him, you are seeing, but you are walking around blind. This is the reality. Do not reject life that is found in Christ, because there is life nowhere else. And so I do pray that God will use these words as He used them in the life, as we saw earlier, in the life of an individual to bring him to faith. That He will use these words, penned by John, inspired by the Spirit, to bring you to see the glory and the beauty of life in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You for Your Word and pray that it would do what You promised it to do. Not returning void, but accomplishing Your purposes. And we ask, God, that it would be Your purpose that each and every person here would truly be a hearer of the Word and know it. Not only bringing it into their mind, but having it placed in their heart by Your Spirit. And that You would produce great fruit in each and every person. That You would give us joy that surpasses any joy that can be found upon this earth. And we ask that You would do it in Jesus' name. Amen.